Welcome to episode 140 of Bat and Spider. I didn't even look at the episode numbers, and I'm pretty sure I'm right. So, this week on the show, we watched a movie with for some time was the second longest title in the horror genre.
Oh,
The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies.
Yeah, and we'll get into whether that's a lie or not.
The fact that you even had to raise that question is going to be part of that topic.
Yeah. What's the longest horror title? Does it say?
Yeah, it does.
Do we have time for you to read it?
Luckily I've been going over, and I've been getting to the hour 17 minute mark of a show, and I'm mad at myself, but I'm going to let it go. And tell you that the longest is Roger Corman's The Saga of Viking Women and Their Voyage to the Waters of the Great Sea Serpent.
Oh, jeez. Huh. Yeah. Seems pretty close.
Friend of the show, Yoli, in regards to our movie, seeing roller coasters in films always makes me feel ridiculously happy. I enjoyed the musical numbers, but I'm a weirdo. Bizarre, sassy 60s gem. 3.5 stars. Yoli's a real one.
Yeah, Yoli. I'm glad she brought up that roller coaster, because I'm looking forward to hashing that out with you later in this episode.
We're going to do that. Yep. Later in this episode, we're going to do that. So what's up, Chuck?
Well, I'm a working man. You know that. We both work.
That's what?
We're working people.
We both work.
But somehow, Dale, I'm not proud of my low movie watching numbers. All right. I know I've been slacking. All right. It's no secret. Yep. Everyone follows me on Letterboxd and who is in our Discord sees the movies I log, and they know my numbers are down. I know, you know, believe me, I'm mentally sticking forks in my eyes over it. Okay. I know. Right.
Okay. All right, well, that's what else can we do?
But between this episode and last week's recording, Dale, I managed to watch seven movies. Seven
Jesus. Movies.
I don't know how it happened. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know how I managed that, but it happened. So,
wow.
So I'm now
in a place. What are you, some crusty teenager?
Exactly. Watching? I know.
What do you got? Nothing else to do?
I know. Like, it's like I didn't sleep a wink. I was just staying up all night, you know, with Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sitting on a mound of Dorito dust.
Yeah.
I just pictured myself, Dale, eschewing, being such a crusty teenager that I eschew clothes and I just wipe Vaseline over my parts and have a fan, not like a person, like a high powered fan, blow crushed up Doritos onto me that sticks to all the Vaseline.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going.
Artist, image,
but
God, you're an artist.
I'm painting,
right? Yeah. Nasty bitch.
While I watch stuff on my TV, Dale. I mean, it's all I've ever wanted, right? Is to just be a pure being of light, you know, that can just focus on the movie, not look at my phone, not get distracted, you know, and just enjoy the art coming at me. You know? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a billowing cloud of,
like, am I the only
Cheeto
one that,
dust?
Like, do you feel like that when you're like you love movies so much, and when you're in the, sometimes when you're in the moment, you can't enjoy it because you're so worried about enjoying it, you know? Where it's the same thing. It's like when I go to pick a movie many times, it takes like some nights I never get to watching a movie because I literally look through my whole watch list and letterbox, and then I look at all the piles of DVDs I have hidden around my house, trying to decide what to watch, and then it's too late and I can't, you know, I gotta go to bed.
You describe many nights of mine.
Yeah, because it's 100%. What it's, you want, you're just, I'm just hungry, you know, I want that perfect moment, that perfect 2 hours, you know, where everything slides away and you become one with the artwork.
I mean, I've had the past 3 months, I've been fondling the 4K disc of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. I had it in my Xbox once. I was that close to watching it. And then I pulled it out and I was like, you know what? Maybe I gotta watch something else instead. Like, I want to watch it. I spent money on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. I'm there with you. Yeah. I'm there. But this past week for you, I mean, these are height of the pandemic levels of movies.
I know.
You're telling me you're watching.
I know. It's like I don't know what's going on. And I think it was
living.
I think it was kicked off. I think because I was coming off watching The Kingdom, which is technically a TV show. But it's, you know, feels pretty movie like, and they're not long. It's like, you know, four episodes a series. But I think I was coming off that, so I was like, it was like I was already running marathons every night. I was like, I'm watching this every night. I'm in the groove. And then I saw Shin Ultraman last Wednesday.
Did not know that.
Yeah, that. Well, I see. That's what you get when you go to Fathom events, Dale. Is you get someone on the screen before the movie, pronouncing the title of the movie you're about to watch, and then you go, "Oh shit, I've been pronouncing it wrong for however many years."
Wow,
it's Shin Ultraman, right? Like Charlie Sheen. So yeah, Fathom events. I love great service.
I love Fathom events, but can we just like what moved you to say I'm going to go see Shin Ultraman Fathom events?
Uh-huh.
This is the movie that's got me going back to theaters after Halloween Ends ruined my movie watching career.
Like, actually,
what was it about Ultraman?
I did lie. I did realize I had seen one other movie in the theater since Halloween Ends, or Halloween Kills. I didn't see Ends in the theater, but so that was technically a lie. I had seen one other movie, but
okay.
The point, but still, I was a guy who would go almost every
guy,
week.
Yeah.
I loved going to theater. But I don't, I loved Shin Godzilla. God damn it. I loved that movie to death. I was very excited for this one, even though in preparation for this, I watched the first episode of Ultraman from 1966. Okay. But you know what? I felt great about that. I felt like it gave me enough to like, all right, I'm set. I understand the rules. And actually, that's all I really needed. And it actually makes me want to go watch the rest of that series. Because I think otherwise I would have been obsessing over like, oh, I know what that is. Because there was a guy behind me knowingly laughing every time he like recognized something.
Oh, God.
So I was like, see, that would have been me if I had watched the whole thing. So I liked being that in between. Right. Anyway. I don't know. I was a big fan of the Godzilla, so I was dying to see this. And it was two nights only, and something just grabbed me. And I knew about it way, like months in advance. I was like, I'm doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I actually did it.
Good for you.
You know, it's kind of a hike to get to the theater it was at. So that was another barrier, but I was like, I'm fucking doing it. And it was fantastic. It was, I mean, super happy I went. Because, yeah. Speaking of 4Ks, when that disc hits in April, I'm buying it.
Well, we are all proud of you.
Thank you.
All it takes is a little something that just drives you. Something special.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what can I even say about it? I mean, it's kind of the same flavors as Shin Godzilla was. It's a modern movie with CGI and stuff, but they take great care to make it sort of, you know, it's CGI, I think they do motion cap, so it's sort of like a guy in a suit. So it still has that feel, with, you know, more modern sensibilities. But they do imbue it with lots of camp, which I really appreciate. And I think that's what really hooks me in, that it's not, you know, you got, Dale, I don't want to, you know, you got to see these MCU movies, you know, it's like, you know. What's the MTV generation? You know, what are we doing here? These sleek costumes? Give me a break. I want to see.
Jeez. Yeah.
Sheen Ultraman, silver and big and bright. And that's what they give you. And it's just, it's fantastic. It's hilarious. I feel like there were some fun sexual fetishes on screen that were fantastic. That I was like,
wow.
Is everyone else seeing this? Are you guys picking this up? This is great.
Right. Guy behind me. Yeah. What about you?
What's the volume on your laugh? Your knowing laugh guy. Actually, that guy, look, bless him. Because he actually, usually I would have been, you know, moving annoyed seats. I would have been like, I can't. But for some reason, he wasn't so annoying that it accentuated it. Because it was like, there weren't that many people in the theater. So it was nice. It was a good energy coming from him. He was like, he was so excited. So
you bonded. Felt good.
I mean, I didn't
you
look
silently
him in the eyes.
Bonded.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Heck yeah.
God, what else is there to say? I if this movie finds you, let it in. That's all I have to say.
Wow. That's deep.
Yeah.
Fathomevents.com for more. Official spokes podcast for Fathom Events.
I have an appointment for a Fathom Events tattoo, by the way. These Fathom Events, too. Do they, you've seen more of these, I think, than I have. They are masters at selling advertising, Dale. The amount of commercials for anime and like anime companies before the movie.
Yeah.
And, anime cons they were like shoving in my face. I was like, wow. All right. And they had like, they had a small interview with the actor and an interview with the director.
Beautiful. They put it all together. It's a total package over there.
I mean, total fluff. I mean, the actor's thing was total. They should have cut that because it was boringsville. It was like, he said nothing of consequence. Mm. I was almost angry at it. Because he was just like,
yeah,
I love Ultraman. I'm so happy to be playing him.
Right. Art for art and the artist, Chuck, the eternal struggle. You know?
Dale, what about you? You got anything?
Guy behind you knew.
What's going on with you?
Well, Chuck, I can tell you that I too went to the movies.
Oh my God. That's right. I think I heard tell of this. What'd you see?
I went to the movies on Friday the 13th. I went to the Alamo Draft House and
rub it in my
at
face.
The Alamo on Friday the 13th. They were playing Jason Lives, Friday the 13th, Part 6.
Oh, wow. Is that the one with Arnold Orshak in the beginning?
Yes, okay. It is. Yeah.
The only thing I ever remember bastard. From that one is Orshak.
And CJ Graham plays Jason, but anyway, I went, had a blast, yep. You know, I hadn't been to the Alamo probably since last, I don't know, maybe to see, what is it called? The Kubrick war movie, Full Metal Jacket. That was like a year ago, brutal. But, yeah, I mean, it was great
to see
it on the big
screen. Movie with all those waiters walking on their hands and knees every 2 seconds. Hey, we care about movies here at Alamo. If you look at your phone, we'll kick you out. But by the way, we'll have waiters walking through the movie every 10 minutes.
You are so mad. You are so angry. I can't wait for our circle of friends to just jump on what you're saying right now and just have a feast.
I'm chum.
Have yes, exactly. Just God forbid. And now I can't bring up that I go to the Alamo anymore, Chuck, because the people in our lives will make Jape.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Continue.
Forget it. Continue. I didn't go to the Alamo. I didn't see anything on Friday the 13th. I hate Friday the 13th. I hate movies. I hate the Alamo Draft House. Okay. And I look at my phone at any movie I go to. Forget, I'm editing all this out anyway, so nobody's going to hear it. Good. All right.
I'm so sorry. I pushed too hard. I know that now.
But
anyway.
The one good thing about these, the waiters, okay?
Yeah.
the waiters becoming part of the movie in many cases.
No. Are they wearing Jason masks in there?
You know, no, but that would be something. I did take advantage because I'm, you know, I'm portly in many cases, uh-huh. in many ways. Uh-huh. Since I didn't have to leave the movie to get a refill of popcorn, I took advantage and I made them bring me a refill of popcorn.
Yeah, right on and that piece of paper, you're like, refill, please, on that piece of paper. Is that how you do it? Or yeah, you just point it at your empty bucket. I like this.
You gotta write it on the paper, Chuck, or else they'll ignore you.
They'll throw you out if you don't write it on the paper.
You gotta take the pen and the paper and you bring it under the tray.
Yeah.
Because there's a constant light on under the tray.
That's right.
And then when you go to write on the paper with your pen and the illumination underneath, the shadow of your hand is so dark that you can't see what you're writing on your paper. So it all just looks like you're trying to draw a family member blindfolded.
Yeah.
It's like a game at Christmas where you just you draw the snowman with blindfolds on and people try to guess what you're saying. So you got to somehow write popcorn refill. And you know me, Chuck, I got to write please and thank you, underline.
Sign
like
it.
Thank you, exclamation point, underline, like.
Dear sir, you madam. Are,
yeah. Like, I am going all out.
To whom it may concern, I think I would take you up on that refill of popcorn now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're appreciated.
Dale,
you are appreciated. You work for tips, and don't you worry, I will be addressing that at the end of the movie. I understand your plight, and you're doing your best. I am writing it all in complete blackness as my hand shadows over that paper and my golf pen.
Wow. God damn. Do you think they have a board?
Can I have another $10 beer, please? Because you're going to bring it to me. I don't have to leave this theater.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to pinch my fat thighs together so I don't have to pee before, you know, the Alice Cooper song comes on at the end of Friday the 13th, part 6.
Oh my God. How do they do it? I don't know how they do it. I wouldn't last a shift doing that job. You'd hear my knee popping. You'd hear all the pops going off in my knee as I'm trying to walk, do that silly penguin walk down the aisles.
Right, hunched over.
Be like, ugh. And every time I stand up, the blood would rush out of my head and I'd pass out.
You get dizzy and pass out. Yeah.
Every time.
They should all dress up like, if they dressed up like red ninjas, that would be way cooler, right?
Yeah.
Like, because they would be like flocking through the aisles all at once.
Actually, that would be great. Like, if I didn't know they were there and my popcorn appeared, that's best case scenario. Because then I'm not distracted and I can watch my movie. You know, peace.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. We'll throw that sponsorship out the window. We'll work. we'll just build from the ground up.
They're going out of business. That's where we'll go from here. There'll be another one along. No, I don't know. They're not going to have a business, right? They're
It's okay. No, it's too late. They probably are.
Man, I'm fired up, Dale.
You are. You had to.
I watched 7 movies. I'm sweating.
Sweating to talk about them. Anything else?
No.
Note?
No. No. I just want everyone to know. I watched Bride of the Monster by Edward D. Wood Jr. I'm back. I'm back in a big. I am in the Ed Wood obsessive moment again. Oh,
good.
So, I just want everyone to know.
Yeah.
That's what's happening in my head right now. So, Bride of the Monster, pretty good. I think I like it better than Plan 9. I think it's more watchable than Plan 9.
Okay.
As far as the sci-fi movies go. Anything else before we get into Incredibly Strange Creatures?
Anything else? No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Are you sure? There's nothing else?
I don't know what I could bring up and not be picked apart like I was piranha bait.
But
an attack on. I'm already worried about everybody in my life picking me apart like I'm that one of those Greeks chained to the boulder as that bird eats my liver out, and then my liver regrows and then it eats my liver out again. Like, I'm there. Do I have any thoughts about Friday the 13th Part 6? Do I have any thoughts about anything?
Which one did you
see? Can I have a thought?
Part 6. Which one is that? Is that the one? Is that the one with like the Dream Warriors, like the kids who are like Dream Warriors? Is that that one? I'm not being an asshole. I swear to God. Isn't there one that's sort of like a ripoff of Dream Warriors? Am I crazy? They're all like a camp. They're like a bad kids camp or something. Is that the one? Is that the one you saw? Or am I thinking of 5?
No effing idea.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind. Let's move on.
Oh yeah. No. Right. Yes. 5 was.
5 is that. That's the one I'm thinking of. Okay.
The kids at the halfway house trying to get therapy and there's nothing. They're not dream warriors, but yes, there are troubled kids.
They're thought warriors.
Ray Dennis Steckler, starring, directed, written, produced The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies. Chuck, what is this movie about? Let's get into it.
Well, this movie is about a couple of kids. This is at 1964. They go down to the local amusement park, have some laughs. But there's strange things happening at this amusement park. There's some sort of setup between Madame Estrella, I believe, is the local psychic crystal ball lady, and her very scary looking Fran Ortega, who just hangs around and laughs at everything she says. She's doing something nefarious with behind her, all her curtains. Her whole situation there is curtain based, and people are going missing. Something to do with Madame Estrella. These kids get involved, and our main character, who played by Ray Dennis Steckler, gets very involved. He gets sucked in into her hypnotized world, right? And he ends up turning into a killer. I'll just say it out loud.
Say it. It's the only way we can move past and accept.
Yeah. And sprinkled throughout, you get lots of musical performances. You get some stand-up comedy. You get a dance act. Which, out of those, who's the star of the show? It's the dance act. They were the top number one. That's why people were in the door. So when that dancer started drinking and she was not hitting her marks.
Yeah.
Wasn't pretty for her.
Things had to be, decisions had to be made.
Maybe that's why she died.
You know?
I don't know. She was drinking too much. But yeah, that's, and it's a whole, as the kids say, it's a whole vibe, this movie. It's a vibes-based movie, Dale, I think, more than anything.
You know, that's amazingly accurate, and I don't think I could describe it any other way. It was like, it was a whole vibe. It was a whole, it was like a concentrated effort to, I don't know, encapsulate the scene.
Yeah.
You know, the scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like a scene of the times and put it on film in a way that I have to commend. Because as far out as it seems, it's like a loosely based movie with, it's like a variety act. It's like a variety show.
Yeah.
With like horror element running through it between acts.
Yeah.
It was a vibe. I don't know what else to say. And you don't know. I mean, I was going to say a vibe and you obviously nailed it too because
I looked at your notes. I stole that from you. I knew you were going to say it. So I snaked it.
I got to stop sharing. Those notes. Yeah, but wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a lot of.
Yeah, I mean, it's famously like lampooned. I think it was called the second worst movie ever or something after Plan 9
of all time. Of all time.
Like, give me a break. I mean, that's all just, you know. That's rich kids laughing at poor people.
Yeah,
those lists.
Give totally. Ray Dennis Steckler, like, he spent $38,000 to make this movie.
Yeah, you hey, you funny guy making a list of the worst movies. You grow up in Reading, Pennsylvania. Did he join the military? I read his whole thing. You grow up in Reading, Pennsylvania. You go in the military, right? You drive your ass after that to Los Angeles, say, I'm going to be in pictures. And you do. You get a union card and you're working on big Hollywood movies and then you make your own movies. All right?
Yeah.
You do that. All right?
Yeah. See, yeah. This dude put his money where his mouth was. And yeah. I mean, commendable, right? Like, some wild stuff, wild facts about this movie. It was filmed in an old, long, empty Masonic temple.
Oh.
Owned by Rock Hudson.
Holy S. That's awesome.
Yeah. The building is called the Film Center Studios, and they were popular with non-union producers because they could turn off the elevator to lock out the union agents who found it difficult to climb the stairs to the 7th floor main stage.
Wow. Goddamn.
Hardcore.
See, that's like, yeah, that's what these guys had to do. Budget was $38,000. Man, but yeah, 1964. Could you imagine? You're like, young guy, and you're like, I got $38,000 to make this. Are you kidding me?
I know, right? Like, this dude's making gold. I hope he was proud of it. You know, I hope he was proud of what he did. And now I want this darn Severn box set.
Oh, I know. I knew that was going to happen. I knew, even if I didn't love the movie, I knew I was going to like, I was going to be like, oh, I kind of, now I'm intrigued. Now I need to see everything this guy does. Especially this movie he did after this. What is this? Is it Thrill Killers? Yeah, the Thrill Killers. Mm-hmm. This sounds amazing. And this is where the infamous Cash Flag mask came from. So in that movie, he's in it again. And he pulled like a, what's that producer I love who did, he did a thing where when they would show the Thrill Killers, they would have an usher put on a mask that was made of Ray Dennis Deckler's face because he was the killer in it. Oh, so it was this terrifying rubber mask that they, I guess he would just like run through the theater with like a knife or something.
Amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah, I mean, he seems like a, you know, rest in peace. He died 2009. You know, he tried to make movies his whole life. He owned a video store in Las Vegas. Apparently when he did work for Universal Studios, he almost dropped an A-frame on Alfred Hitchcock, and that's how he got fired from there.
Whoa.
Could you imagine if he killed Alfred Hitchcock?
I know, right?
And we never got Incredibly Strange Creatures because he was in jail.
I liked his character in this because he was just like every father's worst nightmare.
Oh my God.
Like he was probably like, his character was exactly in 1964.
Yeah.
They like, you know, Vietnam vets and shit are probably just like, this is the future. These are the people. Yeah. These are the kids we got to worry about.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I felt a kinship to his attitude, his teenage attitude. I was like, this was me and my friends at when I was his age, like just, oh, I'm just going to go fuck off today again, you know, because life is stupid and I'm just going to have fun.
Yes.
You know, I appreciated his look. He looks like Nicolas Cage. He just, to me, he looks almost exactly like Nicolas Cage with that weird comb over situation he had going on there.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
Mm-hmm. It was a look.
Yeah.
And that same iconic, like, was it were the jeans the same color as his hoodie?
Oh, yeah.
Or were they, you know, that hoodie was, God, to be able to pull off a skin tight hoodie like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Lucky.
So skinny, this guy. Yeah. And he did. I loved the cornholio move of Like he just, when he turned into the hypnotized killer, he just put that hood up and pulled the strings tight.
Yes.
It's great. Great transformation. Man,
how unlucky for him that the girl he is trying to woo has a twirly umbrella that will put him in the same hypnotic state.
It was like his MK Ultra, like, you know, trigger word.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Boy. Like, it wasn't, I like that that was proof that he was, it wasn't just a one-time hypnotization.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, anytime he saw a twirly, spinny thing, he would become hypnotized and just attack.
God forbid what happens when he flushes the toilet, you know?
Oh, my God. You have to move to Australia just to have it spin the other way.
I refuse to look in the toilet after I flush it. That's what he would say the rest of his life.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
That would be a living nightmare for me.
Yeah. Every person has the right to inspect their leavings.
What's going?
Yeah.
That's right. From their constitution.
It's part of life.
Exactly.
Yeah. You gotta know what's going on.
Yeah. And and luckily for Madame Estrella, to have the spinny hypnotization wheel behind one of her magical curtains in her fortune reading room to immediately trigger him. Mm-hmm. Like, she could just, maybe she just buy an umbrella so she could do it anywhere at any time. She doesn't have to, like,
it's true.
Get people under their hypnotization just in that room when they open that curtain. Like, if she had a portable one, she could just hypnotize people anywhere.
But maybe the first hypnotization needs to be that light box version, though. You know. Mm-hmm. And then after that, mm-hmm. you can use a weaker swirl. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
I couldn't take my eyes off of her fake hairy mole or wart on her face.
My God, it was
so prominent. And she also looked exactly like Elizabeth Taylor. Am I crazy? Did she not look like Elizabeth Taylor? Madame Estrella?
Yeah. Elizabeth Taylor in brown face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot totally. Of makeup. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it was probably like that. I mean, it was 64. Was it like toxic makeup? Can we be frank and say there's probably a lot of like asbestos and stuff in that junk?
Heavy leads.
When they, heavy leads, heavy metals of any kind. That was just ingredients in makeup back then. Yeah. And she had it caked.
Yeah. Whatever makes it browner. And how about Ortega? How about Ortega's makeup?
Oh.
What was, that looked like they put red earth clay on his face and just made him look insane. I don't know what was going on there.
I couldn't tell. It was like a paper mache. It looked paper mache, but it
could have been that.
Was made of sturdier stuff.
Yeah. And his fake, his like glued on hair, his like beard mustache combo.
God. Yeah.
Wow. Horrifying. I bet this, you know, we watched a pretty good print of this, but I bet watching this on like VHS was pretty scary. Like some of these images. That, you know, if you, it's a little more and ghostlier and a little less clear, you know, on a VHS, on a small TV. Seeing that guy laugh would have been way more unsettling.
Yeah. He was like a papier-mâché Groucho Marx or something in that. But that guy and then the three baddies at the end.
Yeah, the mixed up zombies.
On a blurry screen. Yeah, that would have been horrific.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it's a pretty boring movie up until like the last half hour. Cause it's like, it's a slow burn, you know? But I mean, it's a slow vibes based burn because it is like, it's, I mean, and I enjoyed it though. Cause it was teenagers hanging out at a carnival, which I loved.
Carnival's dope.
I loved looking at the Cyclone Racer. I loved Googling the Cyclone Racer to see where that was. And it was in Long Beach, at a,
it's no longer there, right?
It's not there anymore. Rest in peace. But I love knowing that amusement park used to be there and that generations of teenagers went there to hang out. made me happy. They even brought the camera on. We got a very shaky cyclone coaster ride, which kind of made me feel ill because it was like,
yeah, it was a test of your willpower and your mettle.
Yeah. Now, you know, and there were like relationships in this carnival. Like Estrella's sister was a dancer at the lady dancer place across the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what was going on. I honestly have no idea what. There were looks exchanged.
Is she a bad person?
I don't know. I thought her sister was going to be just a good person. But
yeah.
I don't know. But
she was just like doing Estrella's bidding or something.
Yeah.
Or she was looking out for the good of the carnival.
I guess.
You know.
See, I thought, I was almost like, oh my God, when this movie was like getting into the carnival stuff, I was like, this is fun. Did Funhouse rip this off? But it goes in a different direction. But I was like, this is Funhouse. We just watched this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're right. Like, I don't know what's going on. You know, but I enjoyed it. I loved all the dance routines and the singing. I loved all the music. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was like, you know, this was probably cool at the time. Like Dennis Steckler was probably like, I'm a young person. I know what the kids want and they're into this music. They're into guitars and horn sections in their music, in their pop music. And I'm going to just stop the movie every 5 minutes and give it to them. You know?
That's exactly right, man. In the best way possible.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Was that dance number the last one was like racist? Is that racist?
Oh, was it like the African one? The theme?
Yeah, it was like tribal. Yeah, was, very tribal.
Yeah, that was, that was unfortunate.
It was racist.
Yeah.
But geez. And then Jerry, after that poor bastard, you know, hypnotizes and kills at for someone else's will. She's tired of him remembering that he could be remembering. So she throws acid in his face.
Jesus
and
Christ.
And goes to lock him up in a cell. My God.
We should say like, this is Estrella's signature move is the acid in the face.
Yeah,
that's how the movie opens, right? We see her do that to that old man.
Oh, that's what she did. Yeah. Okay.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's like, I mean, that is something to do with getting hypnotized by her, I guess, and getting acid thrown in your face. That's what makes you a mixed up zombie, and I guess and being locked up probably with these other people who are. Probably going psychotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. What a vibe though. And that whole ends, I mean, geez, Dennis Steckler not kill himself in the finale on those rocks at the beach? Like he had a death wish. How did he not like have open leg bone, like bone sticking out of his leg's skin.
I know. I mean, we saw him like kind of fall like several times traversing these rocks. Like this is like, if we describe this, it's like, it's the beach, but it's all, you know, rock formation. So it's, you know, with like barnacles.
It's like lava
and shit.
Rocks. Yeah.
It's like where you go find crabs in those little pools and stuff, but it's all, it's all super not hospitable to human traversal.
Yeah, not
this guy's.
That's like not for parkour.
Yeah, yeah, and he—that's what he was doing. He was doing 1964 parkour over this stuff in a hoodie and jeans. And holy cow, you're right. Death wish is right,
or something. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. I thought he was going to really get hurt,
especially because like you know they're padding out the end of this movie probably to hit the running time. You know that goes on for like 5 minutes and running over these rocks. It was a long
time.
Yes,
it does. Oh, yay.
And the police just end up shooting him down in cold blood. Where was he going? Like, why were they? I mean, look, who knows what police are thinking? But they just gun him down.
Oh, man.
Like, he's a trapped rat, Dale. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, what? Yeah, I don't know what.
Like, I'm going to shoot him.
He's panicked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll just shoot him. You know what? Sure.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it was for all the, like, oh, that guy, he doesn't look right. Bang. He's got that guy, that the three guys with acid in their face.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah.
Like, they just gun him down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No questions asked.
No, zero questions asked. Man, that was brutal.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was like, when they busted out, when those zombies.
Yeah. Pandemonium.
They busted out. They just started murdering anybody they could get their hands on.
Oh, yeah. They were caged animals.
It was the best thing. Yeah.
Like, everyone dies. Everyone.
Yeah, it's like by our bare hands. And we're starting with Estrella and Ortega haunting our dreams.
I'm going to mutilate his paper mache face right off.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God in heaven. Love. I'm in love.
Yeah, it was. It's fun. It's got a charm to it. You know, it's, man, I love it was in a Masonic temple. I'm guessing like all the interior shots were in there. I guess maybe even like front of Estrella's place too, because that wasn't.
Yep.
That probably wasn't like a real carnival.
Most of the carnival was in like the Barker stage and all that. That was all inside there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved watching Ray Dennis. I loved Jerry drive his jalopy around like recklessly, just gunning it everywhere. Incredible.
Yes.
I was so terrified.
And that was the Steckler family vehicle. I mean.
Oh, that's. It didn't have a door handle. Did you see that?
Yes.
It's the hole where the handle should be. That was amazing. I love when he went to pick up his girlfriend. He's just. He parks in the driveway, opens the door, and sits on top of his own car and starts ribbing Madison, his girlfriend's brother, weenie brother, nerd man, who goes to college.
Man, is that the guy? Has anybody with a thicker accent ever been on film?
Oh, his best friend? That guy's accent.
Yeah, his best friend.
Oh, my God. This guy's accent was stealing the show for me. I was like, I need, and his hair, with that hair he had, that pomp.
Yeah, it's like the pompadour. God. Yeah.
What is this guy's story? And is he in more of Ray Dennis Steckler movies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's, you mentioned him like punking his brother. I like his attitude, man. He's like, he doesn't give a crap that the girl's dad doesn't like him. And he doesn't like walk in the house to say hi to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, it was such a sticking point that he just pulls in and waits on the car for the girl. Just oh, man.
And she's like, her mom's like, he doesn't even come in to get you. And she's like, well, he wouldn't be Jerry if he did, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
God. And her hair. What is her character's name? Marge. Angela, yeah. Her hair, all the ladies in this, almost all of them have beehives, beehive haircut. They're so awesome. I don't understand how they're made. I don't know how they stay up. I don't know if this was like early hairspray technology or what, but just, I was infatuated with the hair on this lady, on this girl. Incredible. Oh, and Atlas King was his buddy, this guy with the accent. Oh my God, this guy.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah.
He gave Ray like the last $300 he needed. Atlas King like got a production role because he lent Ray $300 because Ray didn't have any money for food or rent or anything. So Atlas King gave him $300 so he could.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So this dude, he's a hero.
Yeah. Saved the movie. God, that's awesome. I loved when they're in the beginning when they're sitting around. It reminded me, like, I couldn't, one of my favorite movies is this movie, Marty, from 1958. And that scene very much mirrored a lot of scenes in Marty, where they're just sitting around talking about nothing. But he's like, he suggests to Jerry, maybe it's time to get a job. And Jerry's like, keep your voice down.
Discreet about that, will you, Harold? Somebody's liable to hear you.
Someone might hear that. I loved it.
And then he goes on the tirade, like,
oh yeah,
what, like, this is what do you want to be, depressed in America? That's how you get a job, and that's exactly what you are.
Yeah. Like, these two, they're like the 1964 Beavis and Butthead. That's what these guys are. They're my heroes.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Yes. Wow, that's Atlas King. Man, that makes me feel good.
Yeah. Did you read that he managed to make a sequel to this movie, like, right before he died? He finished it?
No.
Like 2008 or 9? So there's a sequel called One Last Time, I think it's called. Let me make sure I get that right. One More Time, 2009. Yeah, so I'm kind of interested to see what a sequel that many years later,
wow,
what that's all about.
That makes me happy to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and his first movie before this one was Wild Guitar with fucking Arch Hall Jr., produced by Arch Hall Sr. Have you ever seen any of those movies? I think I've seen some Arch Hall movie. I probably saw this on Mystery Science Theater at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we got to do an Arch Hall Jr. movie at some point.
I think it's what I think you asked me if I knew him or saw anything. I think I just, because I read the name on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Surrounding MST3K.
Like, it's like a situation where his dad, you know, was like trying to make his son a pop star, teen idol type situation. And
mm-hmm.
you know, funding low budget movies for him to star in and play guitar, and he's got albums for his guitar music. It's just, yeah, it's great.
Let's put that on the list.
I know.
And let's not forget about it.
I know. I want to see Rat Boy Finger Boo Boo really bad.
Oh,
which is like Ray Dennis Segler's Batman ripoff movie. The Thrill Killers. Yeah. I mean, I got to see these.
Mm.
And like a lot of these guys, deeper into the 70s they go, that, you know, the smuttier, you know, they just end up doing porno.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fun too.
Hell yeah. Our boy Leonard Maltin, he awarded the film 2.5 out of possible 4 stars.
Wow.
Complimenting the film's use of colors and haunting atmosphere while criticizing the film's acting, dialogue, and simplistic plot. Well, you know, 2.5 out of 4 isn't bad for Leonard.
I mean, yeah. And Leonard he's got no standards. So I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm trying to start a war with Leonard Maltin. Is he still alive, Leonard Maltin?
Yeah, he is. I just clicked on him.
Leonard Maltin? Did Estrella pick Jerry to be one of her killers because she couldn't read his mind?
Well, now that you read her fortune, why don't you tell me mine?
There is nothing I can tell you.
Why can't you read mine?
There are some who cannot be read. Their life is but a shadow in a crystal. You are such a person.
Was there any connection there? She's like, oh, some people can't have their mind read. You know, you're just a shadow in my crystal ball. And Jerry was pissed off about it.
Yeah, the way I think of it is, I think she knew, because the crystal ball tells the immediate future. I think maybe she knew exactly that, basically time, you know, eating itself or whatever. Like, she knew that he was a killer.
Yeah.
But she couldn't tell him that.
Like, she already knew that she was going to turn him into a killer, basically.
Yeah.
So she's like,
yeah.
Some people can't be read. Get out of here, kid.
He's like, well, then I'm just paying you. She's like, well, you can only have to pay for the girl. He's like, I'm not paying you for anything else anyway.
We should say, Jerry, a total a-hole for abandoning his girlfriend to go into the...
oh, man, that was...
a strip show.
How...
making a scene. Just like,
it was uncomfortable.
Yeah. Poor Atlas. He's like, hey, Harold, can you just make sure she gets home? She'll cool off by the morning. It's like, geez.
Yeah.
Poor Harold. This guy's just cleaning up messes. for his best bud. My God. Everywhere he goes.
Angela's going to see the man that Harold is and make out with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's going to be you drive right
for the first time in her life and going to be like, oh, my God. Harold, what's your number?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I wonder if all these songs were original for this or not. Because there's some good songs in here. I wonder if there's like a soundtrack that was really
sweet. Yeah, they were like really well put together. I mean, the budget definitely went there to pay for the talent and the music alone. Somebody had to play that music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Live or otherwise. Some of the dancing,
though, was rough, though. Those dancing girls, like, what's the... After it was impressive, like the door opening scene for the dancing girls was impressive, but as soon as they got out there, I was like, oh boy, this is rough.
Yeah.
This is,
Did you see some of them like looking off, behind the camera somewhere, making sure they were on step.
Yeah.
Too good.
Very polite audience, though. Do we have any listener feedback?
Great question, Chuck. And if we do, it's because they would have sent their listener feedback to batandspiderpod@gmail.com. Send your letters, send your audio files. You can call our official Bat and Spider hotline at 315-544-0966. We have one letter this week from Foxtrot Bebop. Thanks, Foxtrot. Have you guys addressed the mix-up with the Black Castle feed? What, Chuck? I think some real ruffians might have hacked the bonus episodes because all I keep hearing about is some Randy fella and how some things are thicker than other things.
Weird.
Anyway, I thought I'd let you know. Also, happy B-Day to K-A-B-L-A-S-T-O.
Nope. This is a Bloody Mary situation. We can't say that name. Sorry.
I mean, what is this? Somebody put you up to this? No, I actually hadn't heard anything about the Black Castle feed, but I guess, yeah, we could look into it. I'll ask the members in our Discord.
Yeah, maybe we should get IT on the phone, see if they noticed anything strange going on over there behind the boards, on the racks.
Tape Deck IT or...
Yeah. Is there a lock on that server room over there?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to ask compliance. Tape Deck IT follows the sun model of workflow. So, you know, we pretty much have staff, different time zones. And so somebody should be around when we need
follow them. The sun. What is that? I love the lingo. Incredible. God damn. Now, Dale. It's the impetus is on you this week. How are you feeling? Give me the vibes. How are you feeling?
The vibes are, I'm pretty proud of myself.
Wow.
Because I've been socking some movies away on a little list.
Yes.
For such a time when I said, you know what? These aren't just watch listed movies that aren't going to be good enough for the show.
Mm-hmm.
These are Bat and Spider movies.
Yeah. Okay. I love it.
You know? So I'm pulling up my list now. Let's see what we got.
Could have been somebody.
Put this on my list a couple weeks ago. 1970.
Huh?
In 1970, Dan Curtis created a horror film based on the television series of Dark Shadows.
Okay. All right.
This movie is called House of Dark Shadows.
What?
From what I can tell, it's like a, I don't know, it's like,
is it like, Well, it's like when they like piece three episodes together type of situation, or
no, this is a feature length release. This wow. is a movie made to be a movie.
Wow. Okay.
And it's just an expansion of the Dark Shadows universe, I guess.
Wow.
Like it tells a story. It has a plot.
I love this.
But it's also self-contained. To be sure, I don't know anything. I know Dark Shadows was like a long-running horror soap opera of sorts.
Yeah, that's exactly.
But I don't know anything else about that. I don't know anything else. So
I'm right there with you. This is which is why this show exists. This is why our friendship exists, to experience these things that we know of, but remain beyond our grasp. I mean, believe me, I'm not the first person to turn on Pluto, put the Tales from the, or I mean the Dark Shadows channel on, last about 5 minutes before I turn that sucker off. But I'm still intrigued. I'm intrigued why it was there, why it ran so long, why there's people that love that show. So this is a great way for us to dip our toes in.
Yeah.
With a feature length thing. This is great, Dale. You're a genius. It's fantastic. What's his name? Barnabas. Barnabas Collins. What a crazy name. Crazy name. See, this is why you're the king.
I'm not the king. I'm not any king.
This is why you're a king. I'm your Ortega. All right? To your Madame Estrella. Okay.
I'll take that.
I'm the one, you give me the look and I go turn on the twirly light box. Right. And I laugh. Ortega's gonna haunt me. Okay.
That dude, yeah, it was like that movie Terror Train. Remember that guy's mask on Terror Train? Was it Terror Train?
No.
Yeah.
God.
Kind of like his mask, but worse. But paper mache.
Ugh.
Join our Discord. You can find an invite link at batandspider.com.
Yeah.
You know, do that. Join our Ko-fi.
Oh yeah, exclusive episodes that you will not
episodes
get in the regular feed. You know,
pretty important.
Pretty important.
No, and thanks to everybody who has supported us thus far, who has shared the show, who has interacted with us on any of the social media, who has went to Bat and Spider Pod, batandspider.com. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks to everybody who's done any of that.
Yeah. And I'll do you one better, Dale. I'll extend a thank you to everyone who hasn't supported us yet and that will support us in the future. I look forward to being supported by you. So.
Writer. You know? Okay. We're out of here.
All right. See you next week, turds.
Love you. Bye. Turd. turds.
Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.